Welcome to the Secrets of Confident Women podcast, where you'll learn all the best tips, tricks, and practical techniques for building the confidence levels you've always wanted. With inspiring interviews, real-life examples, and game-changing insights, this podcast is for women who know that mastering the skill of confidence is one of the most important things they'll ever do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. You know, life has lots of twists and turns and challenges and opportunities. And today I'm thrilled to welcome a guest who has faced a lot of unexpected adversity and come out the other side. I'd love to introduce you to Bethany Gettis. Bethany's life changed significantly when her husband suddenly died in 2018 and she went from a stay-at-home mum of two young kids to being a widow and the breadwinner overnight. She was forced to become her authentic self, overcome her own limiting beliefs, and build a business that she loves. Bethany is now a highly dynamic, internationally known, certified holistic nutritional consultant who focuses on guiding busy, health-conscious parents to their optimum healthy lifestyle. She also loves to inspire other women to grow their mindset, whether in business or personal life. And I'm thrilled to have her on the podcast today to talk about her process of overcoming adversity. So, Bethany, welcome to the Secrets of Confident Women podcast.
Thank you. That was an amazing intro.
Fabulous. I was talking to you briefly before we started recording. The adversity topic actually isn't something we've completely touched on, you know, had focused on the podcast before. I mean, people have talked about their stories and obviously, you know, as I said, life has twists and turns and challenges and what have you. But I thought this was a really interesting topic because so many of us deal with unexpected things happening, adversity, changes, we're going down one path, all of a sudden life takes us down another path. And we have to be able to pivot quickly and adjust. And there is challenges to that. So it's going to be wonderful to talk to you today about that process and how you navigated that and came out sort of successfully the other side of that as well. So, but before we start, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your business?
Sure. Thank you. So I kind of started my journey a long time ago, actually. So I've been in the health and wellness space now for 15 years. I actually started as a nurse working in the diet and health industry, and that was where I actually really loved nutrition, basically. So I was helping people lose a lot of amounts of weight. But what I noticed working there for a few years in a row, I was seeing the same people over and over again coming in, and they were actually worse off, and they came in heavier every single year.
Right.
And so I realized the dieting industry was messing up people's mindsets, and so I took it upon myself to go back into school and learn about holistic nutrition and how that could help people instead. So I did that. And then, of course, everybody wanted to see me because I had a lot more information and was talking a lot around mindset for people. So, you know, I got bombarded with a lot more patients at that time. And I decided, you know, to have my first son. So my first son came into the picture and I left the nursing career. I became a stay-at-home mom and wasn't really sort of planned, I think. It was just sort of, this is what's going to happen. I thought I'd go back to work after a year, but I decided I wanted to kind of be home and raise my kids. My first son, I really suffered with, I'd say, postpartum depression. So that was kind of my first hit with like really big challenges in terms of sort of like mental health. And I'd never experienced depression before and like high anxiety. And I'm a very outgoing person and it was social anxiety. And I'd never experienced that in my life, which was really strange for me. I did get help around that. And I, you know, I had to do a lot of things and understand that like there were people out there that were, you know, helping me as well. So it was kind of don't be alone. That was kind of the big thing then was I kind of isolated myself and thought no one else was experiencing it. My second son came into the picture shortly after, so they are 22 months apart. And it was full on. I had a toddler and a baby and it was like every day.
Mine are 22 months apart as well. So I completely, it's crazy.
And you're in double nappies, double strollers, and it pretty much feels like you have twins anyways. So that was kind of another really difficult time in my life. But I felt after my second, I felt more confident. Yeah. And I think it gave me more skills in terms of realizing I could do a lot of things on my own. Unfortunately, when my boys were 3 and 5 years old, my partner passed away. And very sudden for me and very sudden for them, unfortunately. And it just sort of like, it was like the rug was pulled out from underneath us in every single way. I was, you know, I still had my business, but I was doing it more of a hobby. So it was like all of a sudden I did become a breadwinner overnight. There was tons of uncertainty, finances, everything. I was able to sort of do the mom thing myself. So I felt confident in that aspect. So luckily I knew I could parent on my own.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was more so like I was left sort of in a big house to manage finances and just, it was insane. I think just everything. And then also thinking to myself, what am I going to do now?
It's like one moment your life's this way and now you're having to do and consider and look into things that you weren't planning on, you know, having to navigate.
So this is where kind of the podcast comes in terms of talking about going through adversity, because it was like the fire was kind of lit underneath me. And it was sort of like, you have to make this decision like right now, because I had no choice. I had to either decide I was going back to school full time. And even then that was going to be a challenge because they were so little and they depended on me so much. And also finances, I wouldn't have been able to put them in. So I kind of had to sort of like make a decision really fast. Do I want to do my business or do I want to like do a career path? You know, so it was kind of like a fork in the road.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's great. We're going to go into all that and really get into a conversation around what steps you took in that, which I think is really helpful for people to hear, you know, in this situation. At the beginning of every podcast, though, for every guest, we ask a couple of questions, which I've sent through to you. So what does confidence or being a confident woman mean to you?
To me, it means being a leader at home first, because I know a lot of people are out there. Yeah, a lot of people are out there trying to change the world, but I don't think a lot of people realize you can change so much more at home.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, if you can change what you're doing, you know, not stop focusing on other people, focus on yourself. You're actually inevitably teaching that to your children and it's showing them leadership.
Yeah.
So that for me is like where I really had to sort of take a stance and be that leader in the home for them as well.
Yeah. And I love that. And, you know, I don't think we've ever really had someone say that on the podcast before after all these guests that we've got. And that really comes to mind because I was just away at presenting a workshop for the last couple of days. And at the end, a lady came up to me and said, oh, look, I've got a 16-year-old son who's really lacking confidence and what will I do? Will I give him your podcast? And, you know, and I'm like, well, our podcast is really focused to women. So I don't think he's going to respond to that. Yeah. But I really spoke to her about, you know, you can talk about even what the stuff that, you know, she learned in the workshop. I said, go home and talk about that at your dinner table. Like go home and be like, plant the seeds and you start taking on going, oh, I learned this today and I'm really going to put this into my life this way. And this is how I'm going to, because that then they learn and they can hear and they can see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you can't be what you can't see, right? And I'm like, exactly. I said, you start stepping into the taking on these confidence techniques and he will see and you can discuss that at the dinner table. And that I love that because it is really what you have to show to your children to have them be the confident people we want them to be.
Exactly. You do it yourself and you have a conversation around it. And even when they're young, people, I think, don't seem to think that, oh, well, my kids are too young. They don't really understand. But you'll be amazed with what they come back with when you ask them, like, well, what do you think about this?
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've talked before a little bit about, you know, even when my son was young, he was going to like a sporting thing, you know, a weekly sporting thing when he had to pay his $10 or something to attend. And it's so easy for the mum to walk in and do the payment and make it all happen and whatever. And then he just stands there and turns up. And I thought, well, that's not actually teaching this kid to connect with the adult and pay, you know, pay in the car. I'd give him his $10 and I'd say, right now, walk up to, you know, let's walk up to David and say, hi, David, how are you today? And pay your $10 and get your receipt. And it's like building that from the beginning because if he doesn't do it, how is he going to know what he's going to do when he's older? Yeah. And initially he was like, oh, I feel really weird about doing this. But then he then it became sort of a normal thing because it was trained in him and it was just the expected. He could go up and pay for his sport thing that day. So there are little things that you can start really early with kids to help them move on. But anyway, that's good. So when are you the most confident version of yourself?
I would say the most confident version of myself is probably teaching health and wellness to my kids because I live it myself.
Yeah, great, great. And so, that's that same thing. Like you got to be on the court doing it yourself for your kids especially to see and learn and it just be normal that health and wellness stuff is just the normal way life is.
But even a big one that I noticed that I've probably been teaching them more so is like putting your oxygen mask on first.
Yeah,
because that's what we've seen so many times is that parents, especially women, get very burnt out.
Yes.
You know, career, kids, everything else. And it's usually lack of sort of like taking care of oneself. Mm-hmm. You know, I see it sometimes in my kids where they'll try and sort of do things for other people. And I'm like, you know what? Mm. That's great. But you also need to look at like, do you have enough in your tank too? And we talk about it in terms of like filling up your bucket first.
Yeah.
And making sure that like you're good before you start giving to others. That's kind of part of the health and wellness because that at the end of the day is also your mental health.
That's right. Yeah. I think a lot of people are struggling with now. We hear it on all the reports about globally about mental health. And it is, it's those little techniques that you've got to keep training with your children. Okay. So as you mentioned in 2018, your sons were only 3 and 5 when you became a widow. And after being that, you know, that stay-at-home mum, all of a sudden you were that breadwinner overnight and had to just make a complete turnaround in life and navigate all the challenges. So what did you learn about yourself as you went through that challenging time?
It was probably one of the toughest because there was no direction in terms of like nobody was going to come in and rescue me and tell me like this is what you need to do A, B, and C. Like I understood there was going to be a grieving process and it's a lot longer than I think people understand and going through all of that. But the big thing was having a growth mindset because I could easily have gone the opposite direction and been like, I give up, I can't do this. Like, how am I sort of left with all of this and how unfair? But if anything, I almost had to spin everything into a different tape for myself because I knew it would send me in the wrong direction. So it was almost like it had to be a blessing in disguise for me.
Yeah.
It had to be, you know, this is something that I have to do and I'm meant to be here and I'm meant to be the leader for the boys and I have to get myself well enough to be able to help them too. So like I said, it started with me first.
Yeah.
And there were times like you're a human being, you're going to break down in front of them and things like that. And it's unfortunate, but you can't help that.
But there's part of learning in that too for them, don't you think? Like they've got to see that there is... that it's okay to be that as well. Like that is part of, I think, the mental health thing to say it's okay not to be okay at times.
Yeah.
And if you don't show any of that, I think then kids like think, well, I'm not supposed to cry or I'm not supposed to feel these feelings.
Yeah.
So if I am, I'm going to bury them or I'm going to not share it with anyone. Whereas actually we want exactly the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Children are very different. They seem to grieve a lot differently than adults. It took about 6 months to really understand sort of like where the kids were at because I didn't really get a good response from them in a sense when I first had to sort of like talk to them about it. But it's also probably because they were young that they didn't really comprehend it. But as the years have gone through, we've had to kind of go through different levels and stages of asking questions and understanding like why are we kind of in this situation, I guess.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think for me, the decision came fast and quick and it was very adamant that like I knew I had to sort of just like pick things up and just start going straight away. So for me, it was sort of like I had to stop sort of making like flip-flop decisions in a sense. I had to be very concrete with where I was going. So for me, it was about my business. And then I hired a coach to help me for about 3 years. And I did a lot of like mental health work, like outside of that on myself. Mm-hmm. And also physically was going to the gym, like eating really good, taking care of myself, reading a lot, talking a lot with people. And just lots of like very much growth mindset. Like I had to surround myself with that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately I had to cut off some people that weren't supportive of that or were trying to sort of bring me into this, like, you know, you need to mourn and stuff like that in a very long drawn out way. I'm like, if I sort of sit back and do that, everything's going to collapse.
Yeah.
So I sort of had to, unfortunately, just pick up the backpack and just like keep going, you know?
And, you know, it's important that sometimes you do assess the people around you because they make such an impact.
Yeah.
We have to make sure that the people around us are on our side, but also just trusting us too, that we know where we're going. And, you know, maybe sometimes there are people that need to be there to help us, you know, pick up a little bit or what have you. But they're also, I find, the people that also have a growth mindset, that are also the like, you know what, you can do this. I know this is tough, but you've got the, you know, you want those people around you when you sort of have those days that you fall in a heap, which is totally, you know, expected, but not the people that want you to lie down and just melting away and suffer and be in a victim place for too long, because you can't achieve anything from that. Do you find that from the mental health work that you'd already done after the depression with your first boy, did you find that the tools from that actually helped you as well, that you could pull on some of that?
I think the biggest thing was that because I had experienced it before, it scared me knowing that that's where I could go again, even worse, right? Because it was a worse situation, right? So I knew for myself, if I didn't do anything about it, I could be down an even darker road. And they've already lost one parent. They don't need to lose another one mentally.
Yeah.
Even if I was there and I was completely checked out, like, you know, so if, to me, I really had to learn to be present and have compassion for myself and for them at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And being present is such a skill, because especially in today's world, we're all hooked into phones and notifications and thing and da 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 and all the rest of it. It actually is even probably more challenging now to just stop and be present. And even sometimes I hear, like, I'm sitting at the dinner table and someone's talking and I'm not listening. Like, I'm just, they're talking about their day and I'm like letting them talk, but I'm actually off thinking about something else or listening to the TV behind me or something. And you have to go, stop, like, listen, like, what are the words coming out of this child's mouth? Like, what are they, you know, how do I interact? Because it's so easy to just be, oh, I'm tired. It's the end of the day. I'm going to check out and just like read my Facebook. But being present now is so important, especially for children, because they want you to know that they want to know, rather, that you hear them, they're heard. And it's such a skill that you have to keep practicing.
Yeah, it's a daily thing.
Over and over again, exactly. So what keeps you going despite the adversity that you've had in your life?
Well, definitely when you're talking about being present, it made me think of being grateful. So we actually got into a gratitude practice at the dinner table with the kids.
Oh, I love that, yep.
And because I started with it myself, like I said, I almost had to flip it and just make everything, even small things day to day, was I had to be grateful for, because I'm like, if I'm not grateful, I'm going to go the other direction and start to think, you know, like everything's a mess. And, you know, I've got so many big things on my plate. So gratitude at the dinner table, we ask the boys all the time, you know, what are you grateful for? And it's such a habit now that even if we're driving or something, they're asking us like, what are you grateful for today?
So that's so great. It becomes so normalized and just what they do. I'm always talking to the kids about what you focus on expands, what you focus on expands. Like, you want to be focusing on those small grateful things, all the good things that happened that day, because that's then where your mind starts looking for the other small grateful things, you know, that expands. If you're always focused on what went wrong, then your brain's just going to focus on more of what went wrong.
That's typically how most people have a bad day, right?
Yes.
They get up, they stub their toe and they're like, oh, like right away, like this hurt, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes into something else.
I'm
going to
have a bad day. Well, of course.
Yeah. Because you're focusing on what's not working, right?
That's right?
And like, we all do it. It's human nature, unfortunately, but you can also reverse that. So you can also, and I say this to my boys as well, like if we're having a bad day and, you know, somebody's kind of acting out, it's like, okay, let's just like put the reset button on and let's like restart. Let's restart this moment. Let's restart our day. And like, usually that's where we try and find something. Okay, let's just change this around. And we do something different. So that would be kind of what I do sort of in terms of adversity on a day-to-day and sort of on a long-term. Putting things into perspective is another one, and realizing that people fail and it's okay.
Yeah,
I know I suffer with the whole perfectionism, especially like in business and stuff. Like I know parenting's messy, but I think when you try to sort of have too much control in terms of like your own business as well, it can really debilitate you and not make you want to try or get out of bed or anything like that. So again, you still need to have more grateful things even in your business day to day. Like, well, that didn't work today, but like I had an amazing coffee this morning, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The workshop I was doing was with business women. And I said to them, running a business is probably the most significant personal development program you'll ever go on because it does change and it is challenging. And it's, you're taking on a lot of, you know, you're the lawyer and the accountant and the, you know, the marketing person and the social media. Like usually, especially in the early days, you're just wearing all these different hats. So the skill that you were, you know, that your business is in or whatever you're doing, you actually have to start adding on all these other things that you really stuff up often. And you're on a massive learning curve and you fail and then other new stuff comes at you and you're like, oh, holy dooly. Like you have to be adaptable. And if you're trying to be perfect at all those things, it can get overwhelming, can't it?
When you're explaining all of this, it sounds exactly like motherhood.
Yes, it does.
You're putting on all these different hats and everything. Yeah. You can't be perfect.
And you're learning on the job like very...
learning on the job and... You know, you're dealing with screaming children, which you can't control and all this stuff. So I think it's very similar. If you can sort of manage being a mom, you can definitely run a business.
Yeah, exactly. So what did you need to focus on within yourself and what skills did you need to work on around your mindset to help you build your business?
For me was feeling that failure is okay.
Yes.
Because again, that was, now that I just think about it, when I look back in my postpartum depression days, that was where I felt I was failing. I always felt like things weren't perfect. I wasn't this good mom I thought I was going to be. My baby was very colicky, unfortunately. So it was almost like, this one's broken.
I don't get it.
Oh
God, they're so hard, those ones.
Yeah. And I thought it was me. And I thought it was like, I just couldn't be a mom. Like maybe there was something in me that he didn't like. And I was taking these tapes on of myself. Right.
Yeah,
so for me, failure is getting back up no matter what and keep trying. No one's going to put you in the right direction. You have to do it yourself.
Yes.
And don't give up on reaching out, because I think a lot of people give up when it's like, oh, well, they told me no. So then I'm not going to do that anymore. Like I feel embarrassed or defeated or like, and there's a lot of that feeling I think in business is that when you get a lot of doors closing on you, it's quite common, unfortunately, but you have to develop a thicker skin.
And also I find change your mindset that it's just, it's not necessarily personal. The no isn't, it's just that it's not the right fit for them at this particular time. And that's okay.
Exactly.
It's not a no, there's something against you. And it's easy to take a no as personal, especially if you're in more, you know, personal based services and things like that.
Yeah.
It's easy to go, oh, it's me they don't like. It's generally not.
And that's where it goes into a bad day, because then you start hearing those tapes, right? You're like, oh, well, nobody cares what I have to say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, it's easy to go down that rabbit hole, as I say. So with confidence, how have you been able to pick up confidence along the way in your personal and professional life? Like, it sounds like through the depression, when you had that social anxiety, that was something completely new for you that you had to navigate. Mm-hmm. What confidence techniques or what did you do to get yourself through that and out the other side?
I'd say to begin with, the postpartum depression anxiety and like being social anxiety was probably more so I needed to get myself around other people who were experiencing the same things.
Because
that's what I was avoiding. I was avoiding other women, other moms, because it was almost like it made me sort of have that spotlight when my baby screamed and cried the whole place down. And it was traumatic for me because I was like, there, like, it just felt like it was always me out of the group kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I needed to get around other women who were experiencing sort of similar thoughts and feeling that it was them or things like that. And I was like, oh my goodness, like it's not just me. So it kind of like gave me that group power that like, okay, like I can work on this. Like I don't think that I need to feel isolated anymore. I just need to be in the right group. In terms of sort of facing adversity, when I became a widow, it was, I think because I'd been sort of through a lot already and had a lot of life experience. I had already been a mom of two. So I was already sort of putting on all those hats and juggling a lot of things, I knew I could do the career. And I knew that I used to live on my own and I had my own like mortgage before I had kids. So, and right. I didn't have a roommate. So I kind of already had that confidence in myself that I knew I could figure it out somehow. Yeah. Like it always seems to work out. It was a lot more stressful knowing that, okay, now I have two people that are depending on me. It's not just me. Like it's a bit more of a bit more tight in that aspect, but going forward now, and in terms of sort of cheering me on in my business, is my partner that I've been with for the last, I think it's been 4 years this year, actually. And my kids, basically, they're always so positive and they always cheer me on. And there's days where I have those like, oh, I stubbed my toe and my whole day is just like falling down the stairs, you know?
That's right.
But it's normal. And like I said, it's just we press the reset button. Sometimes my partner will just be like, hey, let's go for a walk and have a coffee. Yeah. My kids will, you know, we'll do like a movie or something, movie night, and we'll do a game or we'll laugh or something like that. And it just changes the whole scene around. So getting yourself, I think, around others, which has been really difficult for a lot of people in the last couple of years.
Of course, just because our friend COVID.
everybody kind of just went backwards almost. And I noticed it because I've gone through it before and it's like on a grand scale. So it was like, okay, I've been down this road before. That's not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, luckily I have enough people in my house that I can, you know, I'm not talking to the plant, you know?
Yeah, that's right. So. Yeah. It's important that you realize it's not just me. It's not about me.
Yeah.
It's the situation or it's the colicky baby or, and you know, when you're with other women who have the same, you're like, oh, this is just about the situation I'm in. It's not me failing.
Yeah.
And I was saying that to these business women as well. It's like, be open. And talk about that you do have imposter syndrome or that you, you know, you have negative thinking or that you are trying to, you know, navigate all this. Because when you're open like that with other business women, they can then have the opportunity to go, oh, me too. Like that's, you know, I'm in that. It's not about me failing in business. It's just about the game of business. It's like, this is just the game you took on. And unfortunately, someone put you, you know, right in the middle of the game and didn't explain all the rules. And you're sort of working it out as you go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is like motherhood as well. But when you get around other people that are really genuine with you, and that's the key, genuine, because I know from mother's group, even when I went to mother's group, I had one lady that I really connected with and we used to sort of like walk out of those mothers group play groups and we'd be like looking at each other because everyone else would be going, well, not everyone else, but there'd be mothers in there going, oh my God, I'm loving motherhood. This is amazing. I'm so happy. And we're like, oh my God, I'm hating every minute. And like my life like feels like, and you want someone else to be going, I'm not buying into that. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to actively, consciously search those people out to be able to have that real conversation to go, you know what, this isn't all it's cracked up to be and I'm struggling today because of X, Y, Z. And that whether that's in business or career or motherhood or any of the life challenges that we go through, we've got to find other real people around us that will have a proper conversation and go, you know what? I'm not managing or I'm failing miserably as well, but let's go have a coffee and just see what we can sort out. Oh, it's so much fun. And then I think what you're saying about this growth mindset and just always looking for the good, you know, keeping that focus and restarting your day if you have to. They seem small things, but they're life changing. They're the techniques you need to keep putting into your life every day to stay happy and have success, you know?
Exactly.
Have you got two favorite confidence tools that you use to keep your confidence high? I mean, I assume we've probably talked about quite a few today, but are there two of your go-tos that really is keeping you and your confidence where it needs to be for your personal life and for your business?
For me, it starts with the mission. A healthy family starts with a healthy parent. And that's my why.
Yeah.
Because I've seen so many parents not take care of themselves. Yeah. And, you know, I've ended up in that situation because of that. Right. So it's kind of a big lesson for me that if you can't sort of look after you, number one first, nothing else matters. Right. So that's kind of for me, I have to revisit my why. Why am I doing this? Why am I wanting to help people? The other one is, I think, stepping away from frustration. And part of it is when you are like an entrepreneur and doing your own business, it feels like a very lonely road, whether you can join a mentor group or other people, other women, other men around you. That's great. But there's times where you are on your own and you're kind of like, you know, what do I do sort of with my day or my thoughts, or I feel really frustrated or like blocked. Just go for a walk or do something. And it's like, remove that frustration, because you're not always going to get the answers for everything right away. And I find that I have those days every now and then, and that's where I need to step back and either do some journaling or like a creative day or go for a walk. And honestly, most of my thoughts come when I'm out walking or when I'm in the shower for some reason.
That's so right. I was just away, and a friend of mine, I stayed at her place, and she had a waterproof pen and pad and stuck up the shower. And I've never seen that before. And I was like, oh my God, that is so good, because she could write something down in the shower. Because usually I'm trying to get out and find a pen and I'm wet and whatever. Yeah. Because you're like, don't want. I think absolutely those sort of things come when you step away, because you just get more and more frustrated while you're sitting there trying to do something. And generally it's a very simple, you know, sometimes I'm working on my website going, why won't this work? And then it's just a really simple thing that I haven't done, but I've lost in process. But I can't do it while I'm cranky and frustrated and just like trying to fit square pegs in round holes. It's not going to work. I got to walk away.
That's where I wake up at like 3 a.m. and I'm like, I've got it. I have to go downstairs and go to my office.
I do keep pen and paper near my near my bed for exactly that reason. But yeah, I love that, because it's just trying not to just force something to look a certain way. Just step away and see what comes through for you. It's great. Okay, so at the end of every episode, we ask our Rise Women final power questions. And then at the end of the year, we'll tag you again, because we put everyone's answers together in like a compilation thing. So like they're really great to hear. So Bethany, what do you wish every woman knew?
I would want them to know that you're an example to your children. So just be mindful of what you're teaching them.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is your superpower?
I think staying grateful in the worst of times is mine.
Oh, that's a great one. That is powerful. That is very powerful. Now, we have a whole shoe thing going on. Are you a heels or a flats? Or to be honest, we've had now barefoot snow boots. We've had a whole range of flip-flops. We've had everything. But it started off with a heels or flats. It's like, what do you put on when you feel confident? Because Anastasia and I are like total heels girls. Although I was at this workshop in the last couple of days, I haven't worn heels for a while. And by the end of the 2.5 hour workshop, holy dooly, my feet were cramping. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so out of practice wearing heels. But anyway, heels or flats or some other version of that?
I want to say heels, but I know how uncomfortable they are. I'd say they're the prettiest if I can wear them for like a couple of hours. Yeah. So if I want to go out and dress up, it's heels. But I'd say sort of my natural nature is, I actually have a saying behind me that says I'm a flip-flop kind of girl.
Oh, awesome. So, okay. Well, there you
go. So I think about the beach and I'd rather wear flip-flops.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Your favorite quote or the rule that you live by?
Quote, if you didn't come from a healthy family, make sure your healthy family comes from you.
I have never heard that before, and that is very powerful. That is really fabulous. Did you write, is that yours?
I didn't write it, no, but it's something that I came across and it stuck with me because it's very much aligned with my mission.
Absolutely. That is really great. Okay. And who inspires you and why?
I would say my family, like my partner and my kids, because they're just so positive and, you know, they're always got a smile on their face.
Yeah. And that makes for a great life, doesn't it? And does, finish this sentence. If I had even more confidence than I do now, I would
be speaking on stage.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a common one that everyone's like, really? I just want to go and do that, but it's in the way. Something's in the way. But well, we hope you get the sort of confidence, and I'm sure that you're on track to sort of start getting your message further out to the world and be on the stage. It's really fine. I really love it once you get there.
I bet it's a thrill once you've done it a few times.
Oh my God, it's so great. But you just got to get through the first minute. That's all I focus on. 30 seconds to a minute is all. And then once I'm through that, it's like, it's all good go. So
yeah,
thank you so much for sharing your tools and techniques. We've learned so much great stuff today. I love that quote. I'll have to put that up on our Insta. But thank you so much. And we're thrilled to have you on the podcast and hear your insights into navigating adversity and also healthy living and about parenting. And I'm sure our listeners have got something valuable from you today. So I really appreciate you joining us.
I hope so. Thank you so much, Jody.
You're welcome. And thank you to everyone for listening today. And remember, there are so many ways that we can help you become the confident woman you've always wanted to be. So please get in touch with us or visit risewomen.com. We want to ensure that confidence is every woman's new normal by getting our programs and resources out to as many women as possible. So until next time, remember, with confidence, anything is possible. Bye for now.